Welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick. And in a few minutes' time, or even just a few seconds' time, I'll be joined by my co-host, Andrew Marr. He's just coming in right now. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Now, I noticed on our last show you're a little bit quiet, so if it's possible to pop up your volume, that would be super.
I don't think so.
All right, but it's annoying. That's loud. That as loud as it goes.
Is that any better? How,
yeah, no, that's coming through.
Or is it just the same?
I think it's slightly louder.
Slightly. I'm wearing my big headphones. Maybe that's the reason. That tends to be a little bit quieter sometimes. But it's on the phone and it's as good as it gets.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No, that's great. Thank you for joining with me. And for all our listeners here on the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, we are back commentating, this time from Baku. Of course, virtually. Sadly, they've not employed us to go and sit in a little commentary box somewhere on the flight of the start-finish straight to watch everything live. But we've got it from Twitch. So it means if you don't like the commentators on the current Formula One, you can listen to us and enjoy it there.
I mean, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it? I plugged my actual phone headset in.
That's a bit better. That's a bit stronger.
They were only cheap. It's a tenner. Tenner from Home Bargains or something like that. But they've got a nice camouflage pattern on, which nobody cares about. So there you go.
I think I got mine from Amazon. I think they were only for a headset and a microphone because I do it for the Zoom calls. And I think they were only about 15 or 20 quid. It's amazing what you can get. Really.
Yeah, I have actually sourced. My weapon of choice comes from eBay, and I've got them. I'm going to get them when I can. Better quality ones. I tried a little USB adapter, which I don't know if that's the quality has been any better recently because that's what I've been using.
All right. Well, no, I think the quality is good. It comes through without any background noise or any interference. It's very good that way. It was just a little bit quiet, I noticed, on the Thursday night there. I think it's pretty good. So what do you think about tonight, being here from Baku? Again, it's got a big volume.
Well, Baku's amazing. I love Baku. Baku's fantastic. What can I say? Let me see.
I think there's at least six drivers, I think. I think we've got Albon, we've got Leclerc, we've got... Perez,
or Chico as he is known to anyone
calls
him Chico. I don't know.
And it was Russell, Lando Norris, Gasly, and Giovinazzi, Albon, and Latifi. So yeah,
it'd be amazing if one day we get Russell Crowe. That would be funny. Then he can throw things at people as they go past because that's what he does, isn't it, Russell Crowe?
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I mean, I love this track because it's wide at the start and then it gets narrower and narrower. So that kind of crazy bit as they go through to the castle. And then, of course, then it opens up again. So I think it's actually been a really good add-on. One of the few Grand Prix, I think, have actually really worked. And it makes you think, I would like to go there. I would like to see what that city's like.
I would love to go there. I don't know if you ever saw Joanna Lumley. She does some of these ITV programmes where she goes around and talks very breathlessly about everything. And he's lovely and kind. And it's just like, yeah, whatever. We like Joanna Lumley. And she went to Baku. She went on the Spice Road. And Baku was on the Spice Road, I think. I think that's the one she went on. Anyway, she definitely went there. And they were doing aerial shots of the city because we're used to aerial shots of the city, aren't we? So I was kind of looking at this going, oh, yeah, that's where that turn is and that's where the castle is. And they make these traditional breads that look like a blob, which look like they're really nice and tasty. So the food looks really nice there. See, the crowd's arrived.
Yes.
Heckling crowd.
Yes, yeah. I shut all the doors, but they've burst through. But I think there's still one door they kind of get through.
Kids are genetically engineered to do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the thing with being live. I didn't tell them.
You're going to have to teach them how to read, so then when they come to your door, they can read that sign you put on it.
Well, they do know. I did tell them. I have gone over it. But I think they forget that I'm in here sometimes.
I wasn't implying that they were illiterate. So I was just making a stupid gag.
No, no, that's all right. But yeah, so no, it's,
I know what you can do. Do it as a cartoon. Picture of Dad strangling two children. Simple. Just you can base it loosely on Homer Simpson.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because he does that to Bart, doesn't he? That's he it. Does. Come here, boy. Oh, it's quite a thing, isn't it? It's quite a thing. Well, as usual, F1 only advertised this yesterday, I think. Maybe people thought it was going to be on, but on YouTube there was nothing on it. And I had to go online to find out if what they were doing. And eventually I found out that it was from Baku. But they're not really, I mean, I have to say the publicity in them. Whoever is organising this is going to get fired, or it's going to be a very temporary position, put it that way.
It's organised. Who could possibly be organising this? Oh, they got Rosberg back on. Now, hopefully, this time his missus will be in a bikini, because she came in last time in like a nightie or bathrobe. Yeah. That would have been an interesting race. I tell you what.
The viewership would have gone up by then.
It would have gone through this because she was very attractive. Very attractive woman, and she had very nice legs.
Yeah, we only saw her feet. We only saw the back of her feet. It was like going back to the Victorian times.
You saw the bottom of her calves. She didn't have chunky calves. But what I thought was hilarious was his reaction. It was like, get out.
It was so funny. I think he realised that he maybe didn't see that she was in the picture completely at the start, I think, because she was there for a wee while. And I thought, who's this coming in? And
just imagine if she decided, without knowing it was going live to all these people, surprise him, and he was like, "Ah!"
Never mind the racing; we've got far more exciting stuff happening here. You know,
well, that would have. I'll put it this way: I mean, this is Twitch. This is Twitch. So, how many thousands of pubescent males are there on this watching other people playing video games, probably Lara Croft, going thinking that's what a real woman looks like, and then in walks Rosberg's missus and strips off, they'd probably have a heart attack. Their parents would find them dead in their bedroom, just lying there going, with this stupid grin on their face, you know. their Mars bars, Twinkies, and cans of Pepsi would be unfinished next to them. Or Red, no, it's Red Bull these days, isn't it?
They're keeping them up all night. But no, I can see it now in the parents' thing. I've not got, you know, imagine them, the wife would come in and say, "I didn't think we had bought that channel. You know, what are you watching?"
Oh my God, it's everywhere. We can't do anything about it. This is terrible. Have you seen the film Galaxy Quest, which is awesome?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I watched that a long time ago because it was done in the 90s, wasn't it? It was done in
1999, I think it was. I should know this because I've watched loads of videos on it. Brilliant. It's reckoned to be the best Star Trek sequel ever made. honestly, there are Star Trek fans across the world are massive fans of it, myself included, because it's just brilliantly done. And it was nearly ruined by the studio because they didn't know what to do with it. So it was going to be like a proper film. And then Harold Ramis was going to be the director, the guy that wrote and starred in Ghostbusters. He didn't want Tim Allen. There was a big argument about that. There's arguments about everything. Then he had a falling out and left, and somebody else came in, and the channel wanted it. They didn't know what they wanted. They wanted it to be a kids' film, and it was going to be an adult, aimed at adults. It wasn't meant to be. It was meant to be sort of a comedy homage rather than a nasty spoof. And in a way, it is. But it was going to be even better. There's deleted scenes I've seen that you know do add to it. Anyway, they've got the bunch of nerds, and one of them is having a conversation. He's trying to save the crew in real life, but of course everyone thinks it's not real. And his mum tells him to take out the trash. And the moment that he goes, and he starts doing this speech about how vitally important it is to the safety of the galaxy, he does this, that, and the other. And his mum and dad just look at each other going, well, at least he's going out. Well, that's Twitch, isn't it? It's the same.
No, that's
there's people dressed up in Halo kit right now. That's why I laugh at them when they wear the gloves and the full gear and a helmet doing this, because it's like, oh, come on. I'd wear that stuff if I was in a real racing car. And the reason I'd wear it is so that if it catches fire, I don't burn to death. Not because I want to feel like a racing driver. The fact that you're doing 150 mile an hour around a track would make you feel like a racing driver.
No,
funny
exactly
how that works, isn't it?
No, it's crazy, isn't it? But that's the thing. That's the thing. I've just shared our post here, our live post, onto the Facebook page of the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. So hopefully people will see that as well. And we'll get some more people joining us very, very soon.
What they need to do is they need to drive fast to it, but not crash on the way. That's what they
exactly
need. And then
exactly
listen to it. Yes. Yeah, well, I've weaved it in there. You're impressed, aren't you?
I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
You can tell I got some sleep last night. Don't tell anybody. They'll all want some.
It's kind of more they had the F1, the F2 race. I saw a bit of that earlier at Baku, and that's the last one of the series. And it was pretty close, and lots of argy bargy as well in that. So I think tonight it's going to be now. Qualification has just come up. 18-minute session, 50% race length, equal car performance, vehicle damage is off, driver assist available, and strict track limits.
See, I think be, they always say that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I always think. I certainly think that they should be. The damage, if not off completely, it should be on medium. So they've got to be a little bit more careful.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the damage. I agree with you. But the thing about this track, we started by talking about the track, and I went off on a tangent about Joanna Lumley. But it combines. Really, I should have stayed on the track. It's more interesting. It combines the best features of, let's say, Canada with the straights and Monaco.
Yeah.
And because of that you can overtake, and not just on the massive straight either. We've seen Ricciardo take people in the twisty sections. It's a fantastic track. I mean, it's a fantastic city. It looks like a place that anyone would want to go. You know, it's exotic without being too strange. It's just on the edge of Europe, you know, and it's got this superb old, all these old buildings, and they are apparently very welcoming people. And, of course, it has a great race, you know, it has a really good race. With frightening things like, what was the Kiwi called from a couple of years ago? Oh, I've forgotten his name now. He was sports car champion, and he came in and really didn't do very well with Toro Rosso.
He was Pierre nice Gasly's teammate, wasn't it?
Teammate, yes. Alex Albon replaced him, didn't he?
Yeah. Goodness me, I'll look that up. I know exactly who you mean. How am I, New Zealand?
Do you remember the massive crash he nearly had? Because he was kind of like in the middle of the track going slow on the fastest part of that.
Brendan Hartley,
you know, it's another one of these intriguing things where you don't, how do you work out what it is? Why is he so fast in sports cars in LMP1 and LMP2? Mm-hmm. And obviously very, very successful in those things, gets into an F1 car and just can't deal with it. Would he have been better in another team? I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yeah, it's a hard one because, I mean, also, I think they were struggling in Toro Rosso that year because it was a tough, you know, the car wasn't so good. And I think it was quite tough for all of them. But yeah, and he never seemed to be massively consistent.
I agree with you, except you compare him to his teammate, Pierre Gasly, and he wasn't
that great either.
He wasn't close. Well, no, I mean, Gasly compared with
he's done a bit better recently. Yeah, last year he did a bit better.
What I mean is that the two teammates didn't stack up against each other. Gasly was so much better than thingy, whatever his name is.
Yes, and Hartley also seemed to get more reliability issues, if I remember correctly. They don't get a few more reliability issues, and that was a problem.
Favouritism in the team? I mean, I like Franz Tost. He's, I love his name for a start. I keep expecting him to have marmalade all over him. And he sounds like some kind of... Hello, Ant. Woo!
No eggs.
Boo, no eggs. Well, I was just thinking, he would be, with a name like Franz Tost, he would be like...
French toast.
French toast, wouldn't it? Or he sounds like some kind of German sausage grilled on toast, doesn't it?
Can you imagine if it was Murray Walker trying to interview him? Here we have French toast. Sorry, Franz toast. I mean, they would forgive him, but nobody
still
else.
Still talking. Can't they just get on with it? Nobody cares about Rosberg. He's an idiot.
So the
point I was going to make about the track limits is there's nowhere to go off the track limits here because there's a big wall in the way. So I think we've got a pretty good chance that on this occasion it will actually mean strict track limits.
Yeah, they might actually be careful.
Look at that track. You can't make mistakes there or you've broken some carbon fibre.
Yeah. No, I love it though. I haven't done so much of it on PS4 on F1 2019, but the one I did last year or the year before was very good. And it's tougher because here, as you're watching it live, and we're watching Bottas from his qualifying last year, this is where it gets so narrow as they come through near the castle.
Amazing. How many people have hit that second part of the kink?
I think about two or three, haven't they?
Well, Hamilton has, Verstappen has, it's almost like the Wall of Champions.
Did Hamilton hit that? But I knew that one in the Ferraris did.
Yes. Not necessarily in the race, he might have been in qualifying. But Hamilton's hit there. He sort of understeered into it and lost his wing in front suspension, which made it a bit bad.
And I mean, look, it's walls right the way along. So if you get these last corners wrong, you're in big trouble. Plus, if you're slow onto the final straight, you're going to lose so much. You're going to be a sitting duck because it's such a long bit that, it's miles. It seems miles and miles.
Thump.
It's
isn't it one of the longest straights? It certainly has, I think they have speeds of like 240 odd kph. So well over 200 miles an hour. Was it 250? Hello, children. What are you doing? Shut your fish!
That's a bit quiet. That it's quite something. Shush! I thought we were going to go out the other door.
Stick a sock in it.
All of that. They're only going out to post a letter. But
I don't know why I'm laughing.
It's quite something.
Couldn't eat a whole one.
No. So we've got Gallagher.
That's what Franz Tost means.
No, that's the thing. So we've got Matt Gallagher, Alex Jax. I think we've got the guy, Thomas, somebody, and then we've got
Pinky and Perky and Natalie Beavis Pinkman. And Butthead. That's what we got. Pinkham and Perky, Beavis and Butthead, yes. Oh my.
Won't get that anywhere else.
No. Oh, just seen Sonic, so they can use the rings to transport past the wall, or if Trump built it, it will fall over.
Mm-hmm.
He's got more heart next to him.
It is.
What does that mean?
He's given us six heart likes. Woo-hoo. And 191 in total, which is fantastic.
I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
I haven't tried.
Oh, that's the thing. Oh. Got to be committed to like us, that's for sure.
I was at a party, not party, it was a kind of like a meal thing, a church meal thing years ago when I was in Germany. And it was this kind of charity that helps single American soldiers.
All right.
You know, they haven't got a family. So that it was like a home from home type of thing run by the church on the American base in Mannheim. And we went in there, and I've got to say, there were some very strange people in there. But it wasn't the young soldiers. It was a couple of the older ones. And I'm stood there getting one of these big buffet things that they did. It's kind of like half German, half American buffet, which was beautiful. Lovely to eat. Yeah. And this fella came in, "Hi, I'm certified." And of course, I'm like 20. And to me, certified means you've got a certificate for something like swimming or carpentry. So I said, "Yeah, me too. I got me grade 2 piano." Because he was an American, bless him, and that kind of American, the kind that doesn't get British humour, he had no idea what I was on about. He thought he was being funny, and I just thought he was being stupid.
I thought when he said someone who's certified, just... certified, then you're certified insane. And they cart you off to Arkham.
That's what he meant. That's what he meant. But I honestly didn't deliberately misinterpret him. These days, I would have deliberately misinterpreted him. In those days, I just decided that I would be facetious. And did you see? I was.
Did you see the way that Lando Norris just went through that section with the at the castle? You know, the narrowest section there. It seemed like he had it lifted. I mean, normally in the room, you know, I play the game a little bit, but I mean, he must have a car set up incredibly well. Although I think there's similar settings for all of them.
Dan, the guy, Dan Walker? Talk to him on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, Will Daniels. Yeah, Will Daniels.
Daniels. So I knew there's a D and a W. I just got it the wrong way around. Oh, dear. This old memory. You know, he's the race engineer for this, isn't he?
For this kind of thing.
If they're all the same, what do you need one M for? Apart from to talk you through and say things like, "Stop cutting that corner, you idiot." I noticed that he just straight lined a corner. One of the few places in this track where you can straight line it. But in a real car, it would have launched. Yeah, there. Ooh. There. You see?
Yeah,
that's what they're all doing.
They'll get a red flag, or you know, they'll get a penalty, a 3 second penalty for that. But no, I was just amazed how he took that left hander at the castle, and it seemed to lift. He just raced through it, and I thought normally you'd have to maybe just back off a little bit, but they've obviously got it set up so it works.
Back off, bitch!
And sent us a cup of coffee.
A cup of coffee, and you press. So you U for power boost.
Of course. I don't think they do have the battery power, and they can turn that right up. Green flag.
Can't get used to ghosting.
He just gets that car in incredibly well. He's hardly having to back off. He obviously has to slow down for that for the right hander. And then they come into another left-hander, kind of another chicane that's a left, a tighter right, and then along for a short straight through up the gear, 6, and then right the way down again into a very tight.
See, that's what we're missing. They don't do that anymore.
Here it comes here. They come up to the castle, and he doesn't slow down for that at all, really. I mean, he may obviously just gets in the right gear.
This year is another one of those things where it's different to real racing. There's not a chance in hell you would go into a series of corners like that with that big stone wall of a castle right next to you, and you're in this little carbon fibre thing doing 150 mile an hour, and not go ooh and start puckering things, you know, top and bottom. You would just basically you'd be like needing medical attention because you'd spasm. Whereas, of course, you're just on this. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Because, I mean, normally you have to slow down, or at least you have to kind of... But they're light. I mean, they've obviously got the car on a good setup because it's able to grip. Normally, if I tried that, I would just go... If I didn't hit the wall straight away, I would hit it as I went up the hill slightly. Because it's tight and the car usually understeers, but they've managed to get that round no problem at all, which is quite impressive. So we've got 4 minutes worth of qualifying left. George Russell is in pole position.
Oh, they're actually doing qualifying. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
I just thought, do you know what? It didn't occur to me they were doing anything. I'm so used to them just peeing about. I suppose I better tell some time. Before we tell some times, when I was doing the engine noises, Ant goes, "Roo, doing sound XF." Well, he's corrected himself to FX, but the thing is, I think he's like the first time, because it wasn't exactly the sound of an engine, was it? No. So it probably was more XF than FX.
That's brilliant. You never
Let's
get
see if we can do. So this, you know, I was doing older engines, obviously your V10, weep, weep, or the V8. So now I'm going to do the modern engines. But you see, even they don't do that. They don't, because these, I don't like flippy flabby, flippy flobby, paddly shift. I don't like DSG. I don't like it. I hear them on the A55, some Birkin or something going along, and it goes beep, beep, beep. It's just like, it sounds more like a computer than a car. Yeah. And I was watching Harry's Garage the other day, a new Harry's Garage, and he was in, oh, I've forgotten what he was in, that's annoying, because he was in one of the very few, he was in a Ferrari. Is it the 430?
Oh, yeah. Nice car.
It was the replacement for the 360. So that's the 430, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It sounded quite nice. I'm not a huge fan of the Ferrari V8 engine sound. I know it's flat plane crank and all that kind of stuff, but it just sounds a bit to me. But, you know, it still sounds better than a Larder. But he was in one of the very few manual.
That would be a rare car, yeah. Because most was people got because the F1 box.
Got the F1 box because they were pushing the F1 box because it was a new thing. Mm. And you know what you got was what people of my age and your age and possibly Ant's age would remember as a car noise, which is because you're changing gear. Whoa, that's a nice sound. I like that sound.
I know it's beep, quite.
Beep, that could be a keyboard for all you know. You know. Beep, beep,
beep, beep. Well, it's funny you say that because
R2D2.
I watched the chat yesterday drive out, and it was an Audi S3 Quattro. You know, the kind of the Quattro version of that, the S3 version, and it's a nice car. And what
it's
I have to say,
it's a golf with an Audi badge on it.
It is. But it had obviously the full thing, and he must have had the automatic GSG box. But the grip he had was impressive because it was quite a dirty, the road was a bit dirty, and he could race away at great speed, which he did. But the noise is tangible because you do just hear this bah bah bah, you know, as he goes up, as he goes through the gears. But it was, I have to say though, they have amazing ways of putting the power down, so it does tend
dynamically.
To work
better. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Dynamically they are incredible. I mean, they are. The 0 to 60 times you're getting, 0 to 100 times you're getting from modern cars.
Amazing.
Just goes beyond. I mean, I remember when the McLaren F1 came out. Well, let's go back a little bit further. You've got the XJ220, which was a super fast car. I mean, for all of its problems, it was quick. Top speed. And I mean, for the day, 0 to 63.6 seconds. And we're thinking, wow, that's amazing. I remember when, because I used to collect the Guinness Book of Records. I had about 30 of them. And I remember for a long time, the MG Metro International Rally Car 6R4 was the fastest accelerating production car in the world at 4.3 seconds.
Wow. Yeah.
Then the McLaren F1 came out and it was 3.2 seconds. And then the Veyron came out and it was 2.5. Of course, the Veyron was putting 1,000 horsepower down and all that torque through four-wheel drive and a computer controlling everything, not a clutch, not a normal clutch. They had to make a new gearbox. There's a British engineering company that developed that gearbox. It was the only thing in the world that could cope with the torque. Ricardo Engineering, which at the time was owned by Reliant. I mean, work that out. You've got a Reliant owned company designing and making the gearbox for the world's fastest production car.
Yeah. You better hope it's got four wheels. Was it for the Robin?
Imagine a Veyron with three wheels.
We thought it was for the Robin.
I don't think they're that kind of firm. They've done a lot of good stuff, Ricardo Engineering. It's just nobody ever knows about it because it's done on, you know, for another company.
Yeah.
If not for Reliant, it's like Cosworth. But they develop stuff for people. They get paid to do projects. And then, of course, so if Chrysler asks Ricardo to make it something, it'll have the Chrysler badge on it, not... It's like the Ford Z-Tech engines. The Ford Z-Tech engines were designed by Cosworth. They couldn't call them Cosworth because the insurance would have gone through the roof. Called them Z-Tech.
What kind of engine it's got? It's a 1.2 Cosworth.
Yeah. All right. So that's £20,000 for the year, please. What?
No, I've got a.
You've got a Cosworth.
A controversial question for you.
3.764. That's the answer. Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
Are there any women racing in today's race?
Oh.
I've looked at all these.
Often acts like a gill.
I don't think there is. And I'm really surprised at that. Because you think there's some really good drivers out there. They've got Sophia Flush. They've got Jamie Chadwick. I mean, all those drivers should be in there. You've got Abby Eaton. You think she would do it?
I mean, they've got two women on that bit.
Yeah, but you really don't like those commentators.
No.
But you know, you kind of think there's plenty of them. I mean, you know, and they're all trying to say that they're all, you know, they want to be
absolutely. It's another example of how I don't think they've got a single human being thinking about this as a fill-in.
Yeah,
you know, they all they needed is one person with a tiny bit of brain to work on it. And like you say, they could have had. I mean, Jamie Chadwick's the famous one, but as you say, there's a bunch of them, and every single one of them, whoever's on here, would have got exposure. I mean, Jimmy Broadbent is now world famous as being a man that's got the same name as a brilliant actor who crashes into people and is a bit of a, you know.
So Russell got pole. Albon was second, Delatraz was third, Gutierrez was fourth, Oscar Piastri was fifth, Pietro Fittipaldi sixth, Gasly seventh, Enzo Fittipaldi, that's a great name, eighth, Lando Norris is ninth, Belgapur tenth, Giovinazzi is
11th. It's like a mix of two of your favourite F1 names, isn't it?
It is. I think that is just the best name you can... I like the Enzo Benito, and that's a great name. Now, he was racing in the Pro Race beforehand.
There's two. There's two Fittipaldis.
Yeah, it must be
Pietro and Enzo. So who's Enzo? Is Enzo his cousin? Is he his little brother?
I don't know. I'll have to find that out.
That would be, well, because maybe if these two people here, instead of blithering on like a pair of old Burks, you know, talking about the weather and whether they've got the washing out yet, instead of just telling us stuff. I would have bothered listening to them and we'd know.
Yeah, yeah.
3.73 miles long, 20 turns, goes through some tings, goes up and down.
It is a long track, actually, and they lap at about 1 minute 40 odd. It's certainly in real life they do.
They get very fast on that very long straight. You're getting up to about 230 miles an hour. So it's something like 353 kph, I think the fastest speed I remember seeing on one year when I was paying attention. It's the kind of thing I like to see. You know, I watch what it is and I work out what it is in miles per hour. And I think it was, pink.
What was it, 330 kilometres? About 330 kilometres was about 200 odd miles an hour.
No, 322 is 200.
Yeah, because I always remember watching that when Senna used to drive at Suzuka, and they just had that bit at that time in the late 80s, early 90s, where they could do the speed. And then that's when Murray Walker would say, and here he comes up, doing nearly 200 miles an hour as he comes to the R-bend, you know, the final, type R-bend. What's that one? Before they come into the game. It's that final... Ben, as they come in.
Where are we talking about?
Suzuka. What
track? Sorry,
you know Suzuka?
Oh, yeah. There's 130R, and then you go through to the spoon, which leads to 130R. And
is then that
you
get that
bit where they were cheating madly.
Yeah. It's a flat out left hander before the end of the lap. We come into the chicane, and that's what he would be doing.
I think that's 130 yards, isn't it?
Yeah, that might well be actually. Yeah, I think that is
130 yards. Right. Famous because you need. It's 130-degree corner, that radius corner. That's what the name, where the name comes from. They're about to start.
They're all on the grid with Russell on pole position.
Turn my sound up a tiny bit.
Are there any lights going on?
It would help if I'd actually got it set to come through the TV. And then
see that? Four lights, five lights, and it's...
Go! No, it isn't. They're all stopped again. They're going. Really, every week. Now, there's a Tiamat Marduk.
Yeah, he's an Australian YouTuber.
Spinners at the back, is it?
And there's lots of crashes at the back.
Big crashes. Yeah, so George Russell has managed to keep at the front. Alex Albon.
And there's another big smash.
Gutierrez.
Charles Leclerc is right back. Ooh, and here it comes. Russell is defending very carefully from Albon, who's right behind him. As they come
and
up to
Davidson,
the right-hander.
He's made up some places, and he's in ninth. That's good. He's getting better.
Well, that's good. I didn't realise he wasn't even in it. And then they've got somebody who's just turned up randomly onto the lobby. So,
who are you?
It's Russell, Albon, Gutierrez, then Delatraz. Lando Norris is up quite a few places in the fifth. Then it's Pietro Fittipaldi and Latifi. Then in Perez is in eighth, Davidson ninth, Oscar Piastri is in tenth, Enzo Fittipaldi's lost, he's in 11th, Leclerc is up to 12th, and now, oh my goodness, what's been happening there? Charles Leclerc is back in
going up and down and around and around,
to 16th. I think there was a huge amount of crashes at the start.
Gianluigi he's going up and down. Yeah, Gasly doing so. You see, Charles Leclerc is in 15th now, along with Sergio Perez, who obviously screwed up because he was further up the front.
No, I think they all had some big shunts.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big donut. I wonder if it's got jam in it.
So there you have it. So it is Russell still leading. Now, there were lots of crashes at the start. That's why. I think, in fact, Charles Leclerc has been involved in at least two of them, and he went right the way back down to the bottom of the field. But now he is back into 14th. But there's been lots of coming togethers, and it's pretty exciting. But Russell, now,
and of
it's
course,
just...
what's insane about this is that Charles Leclerc hasn't even got the excuse of having Vettel next to him to have the crash. So, you know.
It's quite a thing. Lando Norris is sitting is 1:43 behind, but that can't be right. We've got some very interesting statistics if they're all a lap. Oh, somebody went straight on at the corner there. He started. I think that was Sergio Perez. So maybe
there he is. That's why he's crashing, it's because instead of driving a race, he stood outside talking to a camera, the pillock. So, yes, I am right. It's 130R. 130R is the last corner before the start finish, before the it gets to the last corner. Turn 15. And then you've got the sweeping left-hander, which is leading on to the start finish straight. Thank you very much. I'm here all week.
Now, there they are. Now, I was going to say, Ant has shared the show, which is very kind. He has shared it off us to his friends. So that's brilliant. So I'm sure we'll see more people coming online and showing
sharing anything. It's all mine. Mine, I tell you.
So there we go. There's only 18 people left. So I think there must have been a few people who have raised quitted because of issues or problems. And we can tell you that Anthony Davidson is up into eighth place. It's only 1:44 behind person in seventh.
Two places from when... Well, he's made up a few places and lost one, hasn't he? That's kind of weird.
Now he's staying back in eight. So there we go.
Ninth, and then I thought he got a bit further. He's made up at least one place from after the big crash on the first lap. And he'd made up places to get to ninth. So it's good on him. Good on him. You know, he's
everywhere.
And he's old. By old, he's probably about 35 now, isn't he, or something like that.
I do like Anthony Davidson. I think his Sky coverage is very good.
He's a good lad.
He always does excellent lap kind of analysis and things like that. I like him. I like Ted's notebook is always good. They've got the guy.
Have you been watching Ted's Notebook now as he goes up and down this local park?
Yeah, it's quite funny. The people he meets are social distance.
It's kind of funny. But when I want him to tell me something, he spends, it's like a 35-minute show. Mm-hmm. And he spends the first 15 minutes blithering on about the weather and leaves and people and stuff. And you just want to go, can you just tell me at what time signature you shut up talking nonsense and tell me something? But he doesn't. So I have to fast forward all that kind of stuff until I find a bit where he's actually saying something useful. And then he comes out with his usual very good information. At least when he's at a track, someone's there going, you know, come on. Yes, yes, you've got 30 seconds. Ted's Notebook. Get on with it.
Do you want to know the bit of the most embarrassing news about tonight for the drivers? Is that Pierre Gasly is being beaten by a footballer. Thibaut Courtois is ahead of him.
As is Sergio Perez.
Yeah, that's bad.
What they don't know, of course, is that if Sergio makes one phone call, they're all dead.
Yeah. And Leclerc is drug last. Money. Yeah, Leclerc is last in 18th. My goodness, because I think he did some pretty dodgy moves in there.
But, Carlos Sainz is going to pee all over him. He's going to destroy him. Because Sainz... How many videos on YouTube have I seen this week alone where the statement is, Charles Leclerc is faster than you think? Well, no, he isn't. He's exactly as fast as I think. Very fast.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's very, very good. There's no doubt.
He's mature, he's likable, and he's done his apprenticeship at the back. He's been through struggles. Into a race car and expect, well, and Toro Rosso, you know, look, frankly. And he's been in McLaren helping that team get better. He knows how to get on with his teammate. He knows how to get on with the manager.
Oh, even Carlos Sainz. Sainz. Sorry, yes, yes, yes.
Sainz is very good. He's not the return of the TR7.
You know, I think Sainz, I think it's a phenomenal opportunity for Carlos Sainz. I totally agree. I think he's going to take it to Leclerc. And I don't think Leclerc is that mature on the track. I think he does get involved in too many crashes and it maybe gets too hot under the collar. Well, I think Sainz is able to avoid a lot of that and is very consistent. So no, I think you could see Sainz doing very, very well and maybe even outperforming Leclerc quite quickly. I do think it's this is maybe his time. I mean, look how dominant his father was in rallying. And always quite a modest man. He wasn't as big-headed at all. But he never got that from his father.
But a racer, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You know, racer. None of this... there's no... It's this thing, isn't it? Because, again, I used to get so frustrated when they used to talk about DC. Oh, he's too nice to be a racing driver. And it's like, yeah, I don't think so. The guy is fair. But that does not mean that he's, he's just going to sit there and let people go past. Oh, yes, no, you go first. It's just too nice. Get stuck. What he does, he doesn't cheat and smash into people on purpose because he likes to keep them alive.
Yeah.
Same with Sainz senior and junior. They're polite. They're personable people. They're great. Stick them on a racetrack as fast as anything, and they want to win. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice does not mean slow. Hate them.
No, it's quite a thing, isn't it? But certainly. Oh, Russell. That was Anthony Davidson who went rather wide there. Because we are on board with Jamar Duck, who's in place with Anthony Davidson right behind him.
He's from Nottingham.
Anthony Davidson?
No, Madoc.
Tim Madoc. Is that where he lives? He always sounds Australian, I thought.
No. You're Scottish. Okay, let's see. There are many people think that Stoke is a place where they say Madoc. They say duck, and Ant can tell us that. They say A up duck. Well, in South Nottinghamshire, North Leicestershire, where I'm from, it's A up me duck, I do, you all right. So, my duck, Theobald, what's his name? Where's he gone? I've lost his name. He's gone. Till I met my duck, and she was lovely. That's what his name is.
That's the thing. Well, it's amazing. Charles Leclerc was 18th, and now he's up to 15th within a matter of a lap or two. So he's caught up quite a bit. And Piers Gasly said, looks like he has made a pit stop. But he's 16.7 seconds behind Perez, who is in 13th. So it's already spread out quite a bit. And at the moment, Russell is leading Albon by 2.3 seconds. So he's pulling out a bit of a gap. Then it's Gutierrez in third. Lando Norris is in fourth and is very slowly closing up onto Gutierrez. Then it's Pietro Fittipaldi in fifth, Oscar Piastri in sixth, and in Nicholas Latifi in seventh.
Anta sent me a photograph, as you mentioned, on the chat.
Oh, yes, on the comments, yeah.
He's found on eBay with a mere £785.82 postage, a rig for virtual racing.
Wow.
I will forward it to you on yours, but it costs £20,352.83 plus delivery. Well, if I had that amount of money, I'd be driving a car and I'd have a motorbike. Not necessarily in that order. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
That's the way to do it.
Yes, I will forward that on to you. I think you'd like that.
There are some amazing rigs. I just don't have the space for it. I don't know what we'll do to try and get it down.
You wouldn't have the space for this. You should see it. It's not like a chair and a screen, mate. Put it that way. There's a bit more going on there.
It's amazing what they can do, though, and how the detail they get and the level of experience is something. And what's quite interesting, that a lot of sim rigs now do not have motion. They haven't gone for the kind of motion sensors and things like that on them, which I thought, you would think would be quite a good thing, but they don't do that. I think like the major F1 teams do, but a lot of the main drivers who have them in their homes don't bother with them. I don't think it's been the big hit as what they thought it was, because I remember looking at the race room equipment, because it was a Goodwood one year, and I thought, oh, this would be perfect for what I was wanting to do. We need to have a kind of simulator center, because they build the whole thing for you. And they have it all. They get it all connected, and they use, I think it's iRacing to do all the races for you. And you have the PCs and everything done. And on the kind of centerfold bit of their tent, they had the motion rig, and that was about £6,000 to buy. While all the other ones were about £2,500 to £3,000, depending on what kind of spec you wanted. But to be fair, everyone was just on the standard ones. The people would have a go in the last bit. But it was a bargain, because I remember even at Goodwood, when you think everything would be pretty expensive, if you wanted to go on anything, it was only £2.50 for about 15 minutes or 10 minutes, I think it was, which I thought was a bargain. I think they were just keen to get people on them, to give them a go, to get an idea of what they could do. Because normally when I went to Brooklands and I did the GT sim rigs that they had there, it was £10 for 10 minutes. I mean, that's like go-karting. That's the same price as a go-kart. And there's no petrol to be paid for or anything like that. But I can't imagine a lot of people are going to go in there and pay that kind of money for it. I think it's maybe a bit too expensive, to be fair.
I suppose if you've got it to throw away.
Yeah, it's not much.
If you've got it to throw away. Now, they've just gone around the corner by the castle that you were talking about earlier, and they went, the camera angle was at slightly lower angle. I think one of the things about that corner that makes it so challenging is that you go in not knowing. If it was a standard shaped corner, you would be able to go in and you can judge the speed you can go in knowing you've got an exit. Whereas the thing with that one is your exit's compromised by the wall sticking out.
Yeah.
So you go in thinking you've got room, and then when you've already committed to the corner, there's a castle that wants to remove the front of your car. So that's what's so difficult about that specific corner that's obviously not translating to this sim.
Yeah, it's funny that, because when I tried
just
to
going in, boom.
Yeah. Whenever I try to do that, if I go too fast in, A, you either understeer and hit the wall kind of halfway up. Or if you don't hit the wall and you manage to kind of stick to the left, then it's very hard to get the car over to the right to kind of take the right line
to get the next corner. Exactly.
Because it's quite tight, that one. And then the following left-hander, when you kind of go out and, you know, you go to the top of that bit, is also quite an understeery corner. So it's quite hard to get that right. So they must have an amazing setup or something, because they're able to get, you know, not only can they go super fast around every bit of it, but they seem to be able to hold the line correctly to exit properly at the top. So it's I wonder if they are allowed certain settings, but they've all got to have the same. And maybe they're the best settings that they have for the race car, you know, for they've obviously had them maybe refined. Because if that's just a standard setup, it's not the same for us when you try and have a go.
No, all for the real guys doing it. Well, it's interesting you're saying about the sims that the racing teams use that have the motion sensors and the motion is kind of stuff. They're trying to get closer to the real thing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's never going to be the real thing, but because of what they're doing with them, they want it to be as close to a real driving experience as they can get for that driver, because they've got to, A, learn a certain amount before getting to a track, and also they're playing with setups, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they need the car. It's got to translate to the real car afterwards, doesn't it? So apparently this one that Ant just sent me, it did look like it had rams on it, that it just moved.
Yes, I was saying the rig does move. Yeah, no, I mean, they are good. I had a go on a Renault one last year at Silverstone when I went down to for the Blancpain race. And it was fantastic. I mean, it was a bit weird because I was driving a Mégane RS and you had to race it around Silverstone. The problem was they put it in a part of the tent where the brightness was so bad you could barely see the screens. I think they put it the wrong way around or something. So it was really hard to see where the screen was, so you couldn't tell where you were on the track. But when you braked and then you went around, you know, normally you wouldn't expect a Mégane RS to have lots of body roll, but this thing was kind of pushing you to such a level that it felt like the car was going to tip over. So it was a bit strange in places. I wasn't massively convinced it was going to be set up correctly. You know, because you wouldn't expect in most racing cars. Oh, that is who's just crashed. The port has gone. You see,
ghosting. It's so useful, isn't it? If only we could do that. They invented it on Star Trek, of course. They had a phase shifting cloaking device that William Riker was the first officer on. And it was stuck in an asteroid because it went wrong. This is obviously the same thing they've got here. Whether there's Star Trek fans on, you know, sim racing or not, I don't know. But that would be quite useful in real life. It'd be an amazing trick for... is it Ralph Breaks the Internet? No, the other one. Wreck-It Ralph. Kiddies film that I watched with my ex because she hated it, so I thought we'd watch it anyway. Just to annoy her. Well, she's from Galicia, she deserved it. And... the princess who's played by, I've forgotten her name. She's from Canada. Got a big gob comedian. Anyway, she could do that. She could go bloop and appear in front of people. That'd be an amazing overtaking manoeuvre. That would.
Yeah. Now you see, if they had damage on, then that would have been about three or four cars straight out. Now, okay, there may have been yellow flags to warn them, so they may have been slowed down. But they would have to come into the pits to get a new nose cone and other things. And I think it needs a bit of that, because it's still, they're getting away with stuff far too easily and not really having to think about the kind of the things that happen in Formula One. Because they're also banging off the walls. If you look at some of the corners there towards the end of the circuit, when they come down the hill on the wee left-hander, they're all hitting the wall on the right, and that's and they're just kind of bouncing off it. And then they're continuing on. So while most part, you know, that would be the end of the race, they're going to be really careful. But
someone's actually put Luda Luke on the Twitch main feed stream chat has put no damage in ghosting joke. Mind you, somebody two later said, "Am I stupid?" And I'm like, "Yeah, probably."
The answer seen a rig for £78,000. Yeah, that's a fair bit of money for it. But I know that the Formula One rigs were about that. They're about 50 to 100, depending on what you want. But then if they put them on special display, you know, they charge a fortune to go in one. You know, it's probably about £20 a time, even just for a few minutes. But then you've got to be pretty fit to drive them. Oh, there goes Pierre Gasly, a 360-degree spin, but he's continued on.
Like a reverse pirouette, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a neat one. That like dancing on ice there, isn't it?
Gasly. He's like, wee, wee. What you need? We need somebody from. Oh, look at them do that! Stop doing that!
See, they bump the wall. They come right out there and bump the wall.
He cut that corner. You know, they've got the curb coming right out, and he cut the corner. They should just remove the curbing. So 78 grand for your own rig at home. I mean, in my situation right now, 78 grand. I would definitely. I'd have a DFR 750 or 800 or something. I just would. or a Tiger 955i Tiger with top box and full luggage and heated grips.
There we go. Lando Norris. Norris has just got ahead of Davidson. Davidson crashed coming out of one of the corners. He bashed one of the wall, but he's right up there with him. No, he's right back. And now they come towards the castle. Surely Davidson won't do a silly move there. But there you go. See, Norris is very good in there, mind you, but so is Davidson. He's keeping it absolutely. See, I could never do that round there. My car would just slide off straight into the wall.
With the amount that Lando's doing, I get emails three times a day saying, Lando Norris is online doing sims. I'm surprised he's not further up. It's like you say, they're bashing into the wall. So they're straight line in the corner and they're bashing into the wall. Oh, sorry. Carry on. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. Carry on.
No, I thought he would do better. I know the first few races he had a lot of connection issues and he never quite managed to either qualify properly or take part in the races. But I mean, I suppose he is getting stronger here. But you kind of wonder, at least if I'd practice, mind you, because when they go back to the real racing in a month's time, he should be ready. No excuse for them. They're not exactly not having any kind of competition. They've been ready to go. But you can kind of see, though, why, like, Raikkonen and Hamilton and most of the others have not taken part. Of course, Bottas took part 2 weeks ago, but it was pretty embarrassing for him. So it's I don't think he did particularly well. I think this is the mistake they've made. They either should have had the full Formula One field. This kind of mix, I'm just not sure if it works.
Not really, does it? I mean, it's not really.
Unlike like an F2, they've got the full field. All the drivers, I think, are pretty much in it. And Formula E as well. I'm sure Formula E has all the drivers that are supposed to be in it for the championship. And then, so it kind of matters, you know, for their pride. It's pretty important. And I would have thought, as this is Formula One, I mean, look at that, he just didn't even lift, he just went straight through there. Obviously he knows his lines perfectly. I'm just saying my lines are wrong, perhaps, but that's pretty good going. In Formula E, you have all the drivers taking part that should do. They need to do that for Formula One. For the esports here, and demand that they all just have a go in that. I mean, it's not like they can't get the stuff set up.
No. Oh, I don't know. It's just
Russell.
Gives us all to moan about that, I suppose.
Russell on lap 14 is 4 seconds ahead of Alex Albon, and then it's Gutierrez, Norris, Davidson, Fittipaldi, Piastri, Latifi. Thierry Marmaduke, Thibaut Courtois, Jimmy Broadbent, Charles Leclerc is up into 12th. Pierre Gasly, Zhang-Li Dongnan, is it? Enzo Fittipaldi, Perez, Louis Delatraz, and Aymeric Laporte. It looks like an airport.
See, that looks to me like Gianluigi.
All right. Oh, yes. Yes, sorry, I missed
Gianluigi.
Gianluigi Don.
Donatello is probably a turtle.
But there's certainly a wide-ranging group in there. I think Anthony sent you another picture that he's saying is...
That's the same one. Isn't that the same one?
Now we're seeing Jimmy Broadbent fiddling around with buttons on his steering wheel, so I wonder what he's doing there.
Oh, no.
Is he redoing the engine stuff, or is he doing... is he putting up his battery power, or is he telling the pits he's going to come in for a pit stop, but he's currently in 10th place, not far behind Termodak. Now, for the two of them, this is a big race because they're both big YouTubers. So can they, who will take pride of place and finish ahead? It's 9th and 10th, and then on from there, it's Nicholas Latifi, who is in 8th. But this is proving to be a reasonable battle.
Yeah, well, these...
They're both actually pretty good, to be fair. I know that Thierry Marmaduke does a lot of F1 racing. That's kind of like one of his main ones. So it's interesting if he can, he is ahead at the moment, but will he stay there? Oh, hello.
Moment, but
I think we've possibly. Oh no, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. I'm here.
All right. Sorry, it went quiet. I wasn't sure if we lost connection there. But now we're with Pietro Fittipaldi, who's in fifth place. And he is followed very closely by Anthony Davidson in sixth. So it looks like there's been a bit of a battle there, and Fittipaldi has gone ahead, but Davidson is right behind him. Now, I wonder if they do have to do a pit stop. And I wonder if that was because Davidson had just done his pit stop, and that is him out and able to try and catch up on his fresh set of tyres. But Russell is still leading with Alex Albon in second.
See, we've seen that in the past, and it never works out, does it?
If they pit early.
It worked for George in the first race. Did it not work?
It may have
Charles Leclerc did very well. But they undercut Albon. But since the first two or three races, which were mainly between Alex Albon and Charles Leclerc, George Russell has sort of got up there and dominated, hasn't he? He's done very well.
Yeah, he's done very well. Yeah, because Leclerc was right at the start. He was very strong. But he seems to have had a lot of penalties, and also then has not quite had the finish. I think, again, he tends to have too many crashes. Now we're seeing Sergio Perez with his... He's got a lovely curved screen there that he's using for his first thing there.
Just about, you know, was that some kind of ULED...
Yeah, that would be a good screen into the high hundreds, I would have thought, if not into the early thousands. But that, although some of them, you'd be amazed what you can get. He's very close to the screen, though. I mean, he literally is just about half a foot away from that, which is not bad going. So he's right in it, and showing that he can compete. I mean, he's been around for a long time, as Sergio Perez, when you think about it.
He's
still pretty competitive overall. You know, he's a very good finisher.
Yeah, it's not bad. He was famous for a long time. The only thing he was known for was looking after his tyres, wasn't it?
He could go for hours on his tyres.
Yeah, and that's how we did well a few years ago. It was kind of like everybody else at the pit stop, and he's just like, yeah, no, I won't bother.
I didn't do two, he'll do one. Yeah, and it should end up in the top six or whatever or more. I'm just trying to think of his best ever finish. Has he been on the podium?
He's been on the podium, I think so.
Yeah, he has been on the podium.
Find out now for you, sir. I'm good at this. I have a special website. if I can find it. Where is it?
He must have just done his pit stop because he's in 17th place.
F1 stats. I'll just type it in the Google. It's easier. Right, what's his name again?
Sergio Perez.
Sergio. I just completely forgot. Yeah, brain gone blank.
And there we are. At the moment, Russell is really driving away. He's on the medium. He is on the medium tyre. And he's done 9 laps on that. A lot of the other ones are on the hard tyre. But he's 4.6 seconds ahead of Alex Albon. It seems to be kind of pulling away quite easily. Then Gutierrez is third. That's 8.6 seconds up the road. And Norris is in fourth. And then Fittipaldi is in fifth. So I'm just looking at the timing just to see if Norris is closing up, but it looks like it's being fairly similar times. So as they carry on, it's getting quite, it's settling down a little bit. It's not been the most, lots of drama on the first couple of laps. Because they all had no damage, they were all able to get back into it.
First corner, you mean? Boom.
Yeah.
Right, Sergio Perez has been in Formula One since 2012, which is quite a long time ago now.
I thought that was earlier than that.
He might have been in earlier than that. This is he's had podiums since 2012. He's had 8 podiums. Come second twice when he was in the Sauber. He had 3 podiums in 2012, second, third, and second. And then he's had 14, 15, 16, 16, and 2018. He's been third. 5 times.
That's pretty good going. Not a bad record when you think he's never really been anywhere near a top team, and he's managed that. And I think to manage to keep going in Formula One for this time is pretty good going.
You must have earned a bit of a
nice bit of penny. Wasn't he talked about going to Ferrari at one point?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But now that Vettel is away, it was going to be very, because I was thinking about this the other day. If Vettel does well this year and ends up winning the title, I wonder what will happen then. Could you imagine that? He might just decide.
I think that it's more likely that Boris Johnson will end up weighing about 10 stone and speaking English instead of whatever language he speaks now. Paw, paw.
but that's the thing. So you don't think Vettel will be trying hard on his last year?
No, he'll be trying hard, but I don't think he'll get anywhere. He's got three major players, right, to compete against. One of them is his teammate. the other one's Lewis Hamilton, and the other one's Max Verstappen. Can you imagine any one of those three people just going, yes, you go ahead, mate? Not a chance. And he's not flavour of the month at Ferrari now. Ferrari won't be giving him the best gear because they know he's going. Somebody commented earlier in the week, or a couple of days ago at least, commented on the fact that it was very strange that all of these contract negotiations and decisions have been made so early in this season for the end of the season. Because it just means that when all the racing that's going to start is going to start knowing they're not going to be there. So they wind down their involvement. They're excluded from anything that pertains to any future developments. He's handicapped himself. He's hamstrung himself. I think Ferrari were ready to let him go anyway. And I think that they put some very specific stipulations in, which they probably either knew he wouldn't say yes to or didn't care for what he said. And turns out if he said yes, then it would mean that he had to do his job and get rid of them anyway. Mm. You know, he's a popular driver among a lot of fans. They didn't want to alienate anybody. They didn't want to look like they were just getting rid of him. Did they really want him after all the trouble the past few years? He's never. None of them have done. They've all been trying to go to a team and do a Schumacher. We'll call it that, shall we? We'll call it do a Schumacher, which is turn it around. But to my knowledge, Schumacher's the only one that's managed to do that.
That was it. I mean, apart from Mansell, to be fair, because they got the new car in 91, and when Mansell took over in 91, that's when they started to make quite a lot of progress.
Okay, but did it happen because he went there, or was that car coming anyway?
He was there. I mean, they had promised him that they were really moving the team forward. And so when he went in 1991, had terrible reliability. He lost. He didn't finish the first four races. I think, or he got maybe a third or a fourth in his fourth. I can't quite remember. But then he started to win races because the car was good and it could compete with the McLaren. But it just had these awful reliability problems that caused a lot of issue. So he did. He definitely helped it get there. I think, you know, he was a big motivational person, was Mansell. You know, he wanted to try and get the team behind him.
Okay, but it wasn't a long-term, let's turn this team around thing. I mean, look, Damon Hill went to Arrows for a big paycheck. Ricciardo went to Renault, big paycheck, and, you know, all with this idea of, well, you know, we'll help develop the team and bring it on, all this kind of stuff. Both of them failed miserably because you can't. Schumacher did so much more than just go there and help the team develop. He took big chunks of a team with him. He brought Ross Brawn with him, Rory Byrne, all these talented people that worked already. That wasn't meant to happen.
Someone's been reset.
Well, they were having a bit of a fight anyway. For a while, I've been watching. I thought the Alpha was quite soft because they had the inside line to that chicane we keep talking about, where they keep hitting the wall. And instead of taking his smacked into the wall. Who does he think he is, Max Verstappen? Instead of just carrying on and smacking him into the wall like he should have done, he backed off. It's like, what the hell? who's in that car? And now it's just span off.
Somebody said, how is it that professionals can be so easily beaten by casual drivers?
casual but experienced sim drivers. Sergio Perez did start in Formula One in 2012, Malaysian Grand Prix was his first. So he was a member of the Ferrari Driver Academy until 2012. He was in McLaren. He didn't do very well in McLaren, did he? He tended to sort of just smash into people, didn't he?
His career was over.
I'm lying. 2011 is when he started, Australian Grand Prix. The first line of this stupid Wikipedia page tells you how old he is. The next paragraph starts with, and he got his first podium in 2012. Say when he entered Formula One, you idiots.
Yeah, I know. It's going to...
Born in 1990.
That's Wikipedia for you. They're so slight, there's virtually nothing in that. So he must know when it's kind of back off as he comes round the right, then to the left, it's perfect. And he keeps going. That's George Russell in a Williams. If anything, they're getting some publicity from this because they're at the front. So it's hard not to notice him.
Well, and they've got a Mercedes engine. Is it this year they've got a Mercedes engine?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's got to help. And we saw that the chassis was a lot better. I just hope they go in. They claim that they've got money for this year, that they're not, that this year's guaranteed. They did claim that. So obviously they're thinking for the future. I was watching an interview on Sky, a Sky interview, I should say, on YouTube yesterday with Claire Williams and the rugby commentator, who's a twerp. You know, he asked what was a reasonable question. It was, people have been saying that this is because of bad management, that you basically can't manage. Basically, what you're saying is that you're rubbish, right? That's why you're selling. you personally. So, why do you think anyone would continue to employ you as the CEO or as the team principal? All this kind of stuff. And I just thought, I would love to have seen her jump through the screen and punch him in the face. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, they won't do that when they're on this, but they might not do it in real life when they were actually asking them face to face, would they?
She's got those big two front teeth. I reckon she'd be like a beaver and she'd probably rip his throat out with them. be like some kind of horror film. Claire Williams, seemingly, all sweet on the outside and actually she devours people and rips the throat out. Carry on.
Similarly, Thibaut Courtois was using manual ERS, according to the chat here. And then I think he's maybe got a penalty because it's supposed to be set up on automatic. So, because he thought that might be giving him an advantage. So I don't know, but that's it.
Maybe he'll get sacked from whatever team he's in. Oh, no, this isn't. Look at that. Did you see that? You see that Ferrari? Bounce off the wall, doing.
Yeah. No, they must have the penalties off for that, certainly, because that's helping them cut a lot of time in different places. But here we are. It's still Russell, who is now 4.8 seconds ahead of Alex Albon. Then it's Gutierrez in third, Lando Norris in fourth, Oscar Piastri in fifth, Pietro Fittipaldi in sixth, Latifi in seventh, Tiarma Dutkins winning the YouTubers race in eighth, then it's Anthony Davidson in ninth, then Jimmy Broadbent in 10th.
It was Watership Down. That's what I was thinking of. The bit where General Woundwort rips the throat out of somebody in that in under on the Watership Down.
Oh, yeah, I remember underneath, that.
And he goes, and he like, and you know, cartoons are for kids, you know. Yeah, right.
I refute
that. Just get a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, play him that, and watch him scream when the poor little bunny rabbit gets ripped to shreds by dogs and each other. And you're like, yeah, I thought it's a cartoon for kids. No. Amazing cast as well. John Hurt, all the voices from the 70s that you knew that were good on the BBC and weren't too boring.
Aye.
Rich Briars.
Yeah, he was.
They made a new one. It's probably filled with, I don't know. I was just wondering how many gender non-specific rabbits there'd be in it.
Well, the new bit of rabbit wasn't quite so bad. Oh, yeah, but, oh, the Watership Down. Have they made a new one of that, have they?
Yeah, no. Yeah. So I saw. I haven't and won't see it. Thank you. The original is best. Yeah, I was watching Ghostbusters. I've been watching it last night, and I finished it today because it got a bit late.
Was that the new one that they did a few years ago?
No, I mean Ghostbusters, proper Ghostbusters, so the proper original one, Ghostbusters. Original. I have seen the new one. Yeah. I've seen the new one, and I've said there's been some videos where this guy's comparing what is it about the new one, and you know, actually in terms of filmmaking, what is the difference? And it's right, but I think the problem, what he describes, this guy who's just going through, he did cinematography for his degree, you see, so it's like this thing.
Yeah.
And what he describes isn't a thing that's specific for that Ghostbusters film. It's not, the problem isn't just that film. It's just generally the way films are made today. Mm-hmm. The original one, they do some gags and they don't stand there expositing and explaining every tiniest little detail of it so that you don't use your own brain.
Yeah,
they just did it and you worked it out and it was called funny.
Yeah.
And he takes the scene where to switch on the proton packs in the lift.
Oh, yeah.
And they go, it's what could go wrong is, well, we are wearing unlicensed nuclear particle accelerators on our backs. Says, yeah, what could go wrong? And he goes, well, I'm going to switch it on then. And you go, and I can just, to this day, still remember that the bass they used, sounds, you know, to the sound. Amazing. So I had my headphones on, I had it up high, and it still sounds good. And then they're all back away from it. Well, but in the modern film, it's a 10-minute exposition to explain everything. And then some silly comedy shooting thing in an alleyway where someone's being bashed around. And the only funny thing about it is Kate McKinnon, just like a lot of it, because Kate McKinnon's just really funny.
Oh, yeah, she's the mad one, isn't she? She's the one who's completely bonkers.
I don't know if you noticed, but she doesn't need to do anything to be funny. She's just there. And, I mean, she's still dancing with flames, and you're thinking, she's just nuts. I bet a night out with her would be a lot of fun.
You need to watch the film The Spy Who Dumped Me, because she's in that.
I've seen The Spy Who Dumped Me. It's excellent. Yeah. I really liked it.
Because when I first saw the trailer, I thought, oh, that's going to be really bad. Terrible. But actually, it was very funny. And she, the way that Kate Thing deals with the baddies, it's hilarious in that one. It's very, the end when they do the trapeze, it's brilliant.
I saw it a couple of months ago, and I've got to watch it again because it was absolutely hilarious. And it's got, what's her name? The brunette.
She's been in everything. Lots of good stuff.
Mine's gone. Don't.
I
have to type it in, you know.
She was in Get Over It many years ago.
She was indeed. Getting Over Sarah. She, in Thingy and Sarah Marshall. She was in that.
Yep. I'm trying to think.
The Spy Who. I'm just typing it in. I nearly couldn't remember the name of that. Come on.
What's the name?
Mila Kunis.
That's right.
Mila Kunis. And she is a really funny, because she's one of the voices in Family Guy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that she's actually a friend of Seth MacFarlane. And every film he's done, he's made a joke about her.
Oh.
So she was in the first Ted film, which he wrote.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
She's the girlfriend. If you've ever seen one of my favourite films, and Ant can attest, because he's seen me watch this film and watch me actually wee myself laughing so hard, is A Million Ways to Die in the West. I love that film.
Yeah, that's
apart from, there's a couple of gross bits in it, but generally speaking, it's just so hilariously funny. It's fantastic. But there's the bit, Mila Kunis is not in it, but there's the bit where he's speaking Indian. He goes, why is this white guy speaking our language? Must be a nerd. I've got no friends and I'm a nerd, so I've read a lot of books. Well, there's one bit he actually says as part of the language, Mila Kunis. He's tied to a totem pole about to be burnt, and he goes, Mila Kunis. He slips her in all sorts of different ways because she's actually quite funny, and she was funny in that film. I mean, wasn't she? She was just hilarious.
Yeah, she was very good in that. She was very funny in Ted as well. And then she's in, they were going to make a Ted 3, and she was still going to come back to it, but I think because she couldn't do the timing for Ted 2, and that's why she wasn't in it.
Oh, is that why she was on it? Because Amanda Seyfried's in it. She's really funny as well. She's sort of a bit of fun, actually.
And there they go. It shows you how interesting the race has been.
Because Russell has just won. Time remaining, 2 minutes 50, yeah. Who else?
Yeah.
George Russell, that's a shock. It goes on too long. I mean, it's boring in the first place, and then they have it going on too long.
It's quite a lot of laps, 26 laps, isn't it? So there you have it. But it shows you how bad it's been because we're more talking movies and having more interest about that.
Suddenly getting all these people going, woo, woo, in the chat. It's like, I'll be going, In fact, I might. I'm going to type in HMMM. Yeah.
And things waiting for season 3 of the Orville. I've seen adverts for the Orville, and it's supposed to be very, very funny. But I've never watched it. But I'll need to get that. You know, it's like a kind of mockery of Star Trek, is it not? A kind of
never heard of it.
It's Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen. What's the one you were just talking about?
Seth MacFarlane.
Is that not Seth MacFarlane?
Seth MacFarlane is the guy that's in A Million Ways to Die in the West. He's the voice of Ted, and he's the voice of Family Guy.
Definitely him. Definitely him.
Seth Rogen is the guy that laughs like this, and he's really annoying.
Yes, he's been in a few films like Pineapple Express.
Every now and again, he's in one film which I really liked because he had Elizabeth Banks in it as well, called Jack and Miri Make a Porno.
All right.
It's not a porn film. It's a comedy, but it's funny. Yeah. And it's Elizabeth Banks in the days before she was too kind of wildly feministic, you know.
Yeah.
And I do like her as an actor. She is quite funny. She's in the Pitch Perfect films, and she directed the second one and produced the third. But yeah.
She did produce the new Charlie's Angels, which was a massive flop.
Because for exactly this, I mean, I've not seen it, but I followed her on Twitter until I got so sick and tired of being told how utterly evil I am because I'm alive and I'm a bloke. I hate myself enough. I don't need someone to keep reminding me how crap I am. So, and that's pretty much the way everything is at the moment. You know. I am actually completely and totally evil and will kill everybody. Actually, that's not far from the truth. I don't know about the evil bit, but I'll definitely kill everybody. I'm Bender the robot. Kill all humans. Woo!
But
it was really good. You sure, mate?
Yeah, no, it did look... But I think I saw a trailer for it a while ago and it did look very funny. It kind of takes the mick out of Star Trek and all that kind of stuff. Well, Alex Albon got a 3-second penalty.
He sent a photo of it to me. Yeah, that's Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
I know her. Is that Adriana Palicki? Aunt, is that Adriana Palicki? Thank you. Yeah. I like her. She's 5'10". She's one of my 5'10" ladies that I like. And she was in the second G.I. Joe film. They're both awful. The second one's got Dwayne The Rock in it.
Oh, yeah.
And she's in it.
Yeah.
As the replacement redhead from the first one. Cause, you know. Yeah. But she's 5'10". She's in John Wick.
All right.
She's the one that tries to kill him in the special hotel that's run by an antiques dealer from England.
Oh, yes. That's where all the kind of gangsters hang out about, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's been in a few things.
Oh, well, that's the thing. Well, we've been going on for well over an hour and 25 minutes. We're just coming out an hour and 25 minutes, which is pretty good going for the build-up. And then, of course, the greatest race we've ever seen from Azerbaijan.
Was it the race between you and me to get a sentence out?
Quite possibly. But we'll leave it there, I think, for our listeners of the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show. Remember, you can subscribe to the channel. We've got lots of stuff, on YouTube. Lots of great videos with all our interviews that we've just done and all the ones from the past as well with people like Super GT. So make sure you go and see them. Thanks to all our listeners. Great to see you. And no doubt we'll see you at the next one. We should be live again on Thursday night, and we'll be on YouTube, of course, on Thursday. But have you got an exciting week coming up there, Roo? Anything exciting coming up this week?
I'm fully expecting the sun to rise in the morning and set at night. I have Windows, both Windows 10 and Windows Bay. And I now have a curtain with a rail, which I've lubricated, and it opens and closes. And Windows, they did the same. So there's stuff like that. I've paid. Now, this is very important. I paid for a 1-year subscription to Amazon Prime now, so I don't have to worry about that. I can watch as much Farscape as I like and think how fantastically gorgeous Claudia Black is. Because she is. She just is.
Well,
sing as well.
I'll leave it at that. You have a great few days, and we'll be back on Thursday on the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. In the meantime, I'm going to try and get some more great guests that we can interview for the show. I'm hoping to get Louise Aitken Walker, because I've been trying to get in touch with her, so I need to get that.
Well, you're her pal.
Yeah, I'm just up the road, so hopefully she'll do it for me, and we'll get that done, and I'll let you know as soon as it happens.
If she taught you how to drive, that would explain a lot.
It certainly would. But you've been listening to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special co-commentator, Andrew Marr. I'll leave it to you to finish it off.
Well, everybody, you need to drive fast, but don't crash, because if you do, you won't get there. Do it.
See you on Thursday. Bye this time. Bye.